In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, the prophet asked, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Jeremiah the prophet was having trouble with this issue. He was having a difficulty understanding how God could allow good things to happen to such bad people and why those wicked people were prospering while righteous people were suffering. Many people have asked this question. As a matter of fact, it is thousands of years old. And we might even say that it's universal. I suppose that most, if not all, people at some point in their life ask the question, why does this have to happen? Or why is this happening to me? And how can God allow this? Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? Now, as long as we're raising the question, there's nothing sinful or wrong about asking why. We're looking at Jeremiah here in Jeremiah chapter 12, and we see Jeremiah, the prophet of God himself, asking why these things have to be the way that they are. We find men like David and Habakkuk and Job and others in the Bible that ask the question why. We find Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is not wrong in itself to ask the question why, especially when it comes to human suffering and evil in the world. Now, it's not good for us to dwell on it all the time, and there's no way that we really can have the faith that we need to have if we're constantly questioning what God has done. But I believe that it's normal, I believe that it's natural, and I believe that as Christians, we're going to raise this question from time to time. So it's not wrong to ask the question. But what has happened is that there are atheists, there are skeptics, who use this problem, if I can call it a problem, they use it as an argument. They use it as an excuse to say, well, I don't believe in God. And the problem is this. Number one, God is all-powerful. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Luke 1, verse 37, the Bible says, with God all things are possible. So God is all-powerful. God is able to do whatever is possible to accomplish. He is the all-powerful God. The Bible is clear on that point. Now, of course, there are some things that God cannot and will not do. God, for instance, is not going to go against his nature. The same Bible that says that God is able to do all these things also says to us that it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18. So God cannot go against his nature. God is not going to ever lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So when we think about and we talk about God being all-powerful, that has to be understood in light of these qualifications that the Bible itself gives. Now, number two, God is all good. He is all loving. The Bible says that God sends rain on the just and on the unjust and causes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good. God provides everything to everyone. Acts 17, verse 25 says that he gives to all life and breath and all things. And if any human being ever has a question about the goodness of God, all that person has to do is to think about Jesus dying on the cross. Because the Bible says that God displayed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. And that passage says that it's rare to find someone who will die, who will give his life even for a good man. And yet Jesus died for sinners. That is the great love of God. Yes, God is perfect in goodness. God is perfect in his love. Now, in light of that, the question, number three, is this. How does evil exist? How can there be such evil as we find in the world when we look at God, who is the all-powerful God and the all-loving God? Now, sometimes there are skeptics. Sometimes there are unbelievers who say, well, if you believe that God is all-powerful, then why doesn't God stop all of this evil? If he has the power to stop it, then why doesn't he stop it? Well, folks, think about what that would entail. Think about what that would involve. Suppose here is a man who is about to commit a crime. Let's suppose that he is about to rob somebody. Let's suppose in the process that he kills somebody as he's committing that robbery. Now, God then looks down from heaven, and he knows what this man is about to do. God has the power to keep him from doing that. God has the raw power to intervene and to stop that man from committing robbery and committing murder. But suppose God did that every time anyone ever sinned. That would mean that God would constantly be stopping people from doing what they choose to do. That would mean that God would stop people from even thinking a bad thought or ever saying something that was wrong, much less doing something as far as a bad deed is concerned. You would have God constantly interrupting and intervening the course of human affairs, and here's what would happen, folks. That would mean that you and I would not have free will. God could stop us from doing what we do, but that would mean that we wouldn't have the ability to choose. Now, God put us on this earth to make a choice. Here's what a lot of people don't see. This is the basic fact that people need to understand. The reason that you and I are here is to make a choice. To make a choice between God and the devil. To make a choice between right and wrong. To make a decision between heaven and hell. Now that means that God has to remove himself from our affairs to an extent, to a degree, so that you and I have the power to choose. Because if God is always smacking our hand away from some evil that we want to do or choose to do, then that means that we're not free. God wants us to freely choose between him and evil. And even though we sometimes choose the evil, God is willing to forgive when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and are washed by the blood of his Son. So yes, God has the power to stop a lot of evil things and all the evil things that take place in the world. But if he did, that would destroy the very reason why we are here. So people can't have it both ways. People cannot have their free will that they exercise where they choose what they want to do in life, and at the same time say that God is going to stop them from doing something that is wrong. It just doesn't work that way. It cannot be that way. So the other side of this is, what about God's love? If God loves us, there are some skeptics and some atheists that say, well, if God is really the all-loving God, then why does he let us suffer? If God really loves us, he wouldn't want us to go through all of this. Well, let me observe right here that there are two kinds of evil when it comes to the Bible. There is what we sometimes call natural evil, and that is suffering. That is pain. That refers to sickness, to accidents, even to heartache on the inside. Those are forms of what we would call natural suffering or natural evil. The other kind of evil that we find in the world is moral evil. And that is sin. That is the real evil that is in the world. You see, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to pain and sickness and the different maladies that people find themselves in life, sickness and pain are not in themselves evil. They're not bad, morally speaking, by themselves. Now, for instance, let's suppose that a man is attacked by a robber again, and that robber uses a knife to cut him. And so that man has to be taken to the hospital, and he has to be sewed up because he has to have about 20 stitches in his midsection because of what that robber did. Now, when we look at that kind of pain and that suffering that that man is going through, we say, well, that's just a terrible thing because he is going to suffer, and he's going to have to recuperate in the hospital for some time and even at home. So did he suffer pain? Yes. But then, on the other hand, we look at a man who's about to undergo a surgery, and the doctor, the surgeon, takes a knife, and he makes an incision, he makes a cut, and he opens up that man. we look at that and we think about how painful that would be if the man was not on any medication. But even with that, even with pain relief today, that man is going to feel some pain. And he is going to have a recovery period. So on the one hand, you have a robber who cuts a man, and we say that that is bad. On the other hand, we have a surgeon who cuts a man, and we say that that's good. Well, what we're finding here, folks, is that pain in and of itself is not a good or a bad thing. It just depends on the circumstances. So there are some forms of pain that are good. For instance, when you have a cut in your body that you've obtained accidentally, that is a signal, that is a warning that something is wrong. If, for instance, you cut your foot but you couldn't feel any pain, you might bleed to death. So pain in itself is not evil. But on the other hand, sin is always evil. It is in and of itself a morally evil thing. So yes, there is great evil in the world. There's so much sin and there is so much suffering. And there are many atheists who say, this is why I don't believe in God. And you'll find as you listen to them that oftentimes they're very angry at the very idea of God. Well, how could this happen? Because they've gone through something in their lives, or maybe a loved one has experienced great pain and great suffering, and this person is angry at the very idea of God allowing that to happen. Now, does evil prove that there is no God? No. Folks, atheism is not a logical option, because the evidence of nature itself, and nature is not the only proof, but nature itself clearly shows us that God is. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 1, verse 20, there is no excuse for a man being an atheist. So whatever we do, however we reason this out and think this thing through in our minds, we cannot be honest and we cannot even be logical if we say that God does not exist because of all the evil that is in the world. That is just not an option if we're going to be honest. But number two, we have to remember that God made the world as a place to choose our destiny. It is a life of much pain and sorrow. First of all, because man needs to be challenged in this world. Secondly, because some people use their free will to abuse other people and even abuse themselves. So we shouldn't look at this life and expect it to be heaven, because this world is not heaven. This is a deciding place. We're in the probationary period here in this life to choose where we're going to spend our eternal destiny. Number three, man has no right to criticize God ever, much less to deny that there is a God because of all the suffering in the world for this reason. God himself went through the worst suffering, and he did that when Jesus died on the cross, because when Jesus died on the cross, when God gave his only begotten Son, and Jesus went through that terrible suffering, this was, in a sense, God himself saying that he was going to go through the same suffering that we as human beings go through, and as a matter of fact, an even worse form of suffering. So God has really stopped the mouths of critics by the death of Jesus on the cross. But here is the real crux of the matter. The whole response that we ought to give to people who say, well, I don't believe in God because of all the evil in the world, here it is. If there is no God, there is no real evil. Because if there's no God, there's no standard of right and wrong. We're all just animals. We don't have a soul. And there's no heaven or hell. If that's the world that we live in, then no human being can say to another, this is right and this is wrong, absolutely for everybody. So the very thing that people as atheists point to try to disprove the existence of God, is actually proof that there is a God. Because if there is real evil in the world, there must be a God who decides what is good and what is evil.